Hi there, friends. It's your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, and you are listening to Playbill Presents The Broadway Cast. It's a brand spanking new weekly podcast that brings the pages of Playbill to life and delivers it directly to theater fans around the world. Every episode will feature Broadway news and exclusive stories from the most notable Broadway personalities. Additionally, The Broadway Cast will give a voice to fans like they've never had before. Let's get things started now with the Playbill Pulse. Here to tell us what's happening on the boards, we have social media manager from Playbill. This is Felicia Fitzpatrick. Hello, Felicia.
Hi, Ben.
It's nice to see you. Welcome to the Broadcast Studio.
It's always good to see you.
Yeah, so tell us, what's happening? What do we need to know about?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's all about the plays lately, I feel like. A lot of play action. Lynn Nottage's Sweat, the Pulitzer Prize winning, the Tony-nominated Sweat, closed on June 25th.
Ah.
I know, kind of a bummer, but it got a lot of attention while it was up, and everyone's really excited. They have some future plans for it. And Present Laughter and The Little Foxes both closed on July 2nd.
Broadway's losing some star power there.
Right,
Kevin Kline, Cynthia Nixon,
exactly.
Laura Linney.
The classics. And you would think we're winding down for the summer, but Indecent, Paula Vogel's Indecent, Tony-nominated, Pulitzer Prize-nominated, actually pushed back their closing date.
I heard this. This is so tremendous. And I heard that they made a curtain speech at the show announcing that although the closing was set to be that next day.
Right. Instead, the producers gathered them around and Daryl Roth was like, we've had such an outpouring of support. We're going to push back the closing date to August 6th. So all of these audiences coming to the theater district over the summer are going to get to see it.
And yet she persisted.
Nevertheless, she persisted.
Yeah.
And Aki Arete Anadawan and Ingrid Michaelson are starting in The Great Comet.
That's very exciting.
I know.
Oak is back on the boards.
Yeah, he's coming in for Pierre, for Josh Groban's role. And then Ingrid is taking over Sonia from Britton Ashford. And it's thrilling.
That is thrilling.
What a time to be alive.
It's a great time to be alive and a great time to get back out and see The Great Comet again.
Yes.
Well, thank you so very much for keeping us in touch with the Playbill Pulse.
Thank you, Ben.
Bye, Felicia.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Give my regards to Broadway.
A lullaby of Broadway.
There's a kid in the middle of nowhere who's sitting there living for Tony performances, singing and flipping along with the Pippins and Wickets and Kinky's Matildas and Mormonses. So we might reassure that kid and do something to spur that kid. Because I promise you, all of us up here tonight, we were that kid and now we're big.
Hello, you beautiful theater fans out there. It's your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, and you are listening to Playbill Presents The Broadway Cast. We are recording live in the heart of Times Square, center of the universe. On today's show, we're chatting with an incredible panel of stars who have found success both on the stage and on screens, big and small. Let's welcome our first guest. She's currently starring opposite Matthew Perry in The End of Longing. She's also starred on Broadway as Kate Keller in The Miracle Worker, and you may know her best from her role as Allison Cameron in House and as Emma Swan in Once Upon a Time on ABC. Please welcome Jennifer Morrison.
Couldn't hear the song inside. Oh.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
I'm super glad you're here.
I'm super glad to be here.
Yeah. And seated to Jennifer's immediate left, he currently stars as Win Schott on Supergirl. He starred on musical drama series Smash and the film of the last 5 years. And of course, theater fans know him from Rock of Ages, West Side Story, and Star Turns in Bonnie and Clyde. And of course, Jack Kelly in Newsies. This is Jeremy Jordan.
Falling, baby, through the sky, I'm falling, baby, through the sky. It's my calling, baby, don't you cry.
And rounding out our panel is my very good friend and Tony Award-winning actress from Hedwig and the Angry Inch, recent guest star on Girls on HBO, and star of the new hit film, Bex, Lena Hall.
Lift up your
head. Yay.
Yay,
Lena Hall.
Yay, Lena Hall.
All right, guys, before we get started with talking to you guys about being both stage and screen stars today, we want to play a little game. It's time for a Playbill pop quiz.
Ooh.
And I hope that you're playing along, listeners. In the spirit of today's episode, we're going to discuss stars that have made it big on the Broadway stage and the small and silver screens. Mm. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to name a musical and a TV show. And I challenge you guys to tell me who starred in both.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Nice.
Do you like that, Jeremy Jordan?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like you're going to be good at this. I've never met you before, but I have a really strong feeling you're going to be good at this.
I'm going to be terrible.
He's pumped up. He's ready to rock. Here we go.
I have to do this.
All right.
Perfectly.
I'm ready.
First clue. Cheers. Chicago.
Literally everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Well, Bebe Neuwirth.
Bebe Neuwirth is correct. Ding, ding, ding. Off to a great start. One
wow,
point for
well
Lena
done.
Hall.
Oh, my God.
All right.
I got that.
Next up, Frasier, Finding Neverland.
Oh, what's his name?
Oh.
You know the one.
The guy who's on
you
Frasier.
Know the one? Yeah. Frasier.
Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer. Very well done. All right. It's going to get tough now.
Uh-oh.
Cats, Eight is Enough.
Oh, boy.
Cats, Eight is
I'm going
Enough?
Deep. I'm going
What's
deep
eight?
And dirty into
I
the
never,
80s,
I've never heard
friend.
Of Eight is Enough. What is Eight is Enough?
Eight is Enough was a family drama in the 80s.
Not Terrence Mann.
No, but I love that you brought Terrence Mann up at all. I'm obsessed with Terrence Mann.
Who was in the original cast of Cats?
Well, it
he
was...
sure was.
No, I was asking who, no. but...
Well, Terrence
but yes,
Mann
he was. He certainly was.
He was the Rum Tum Tugger.
Who played... Who was the original...
Best
Betty Buckley.
Ever.
Betty Buckley is
yeah!
absolutely correct.
Oh.
I feel like we're really hitting our stride now. All right.
She is.
I gotta really
Lena Hall is dominating.
How am I?
Dominating.
I don't understand how.
I mean, right. She's up by one, you guys. Come on.
She's up by one. All right. Sunday in the Park with George.
Oh.
Homeland.
Mandy Patinkin.
Bam!
Wow, yay! That was so quick.
That was lightning fast.
I felt that one coming.
Yeah, yeah. Inside Your Soul. All right. Spring Awakening. Glee.
Lea Michele.
Lea Michele.
Correct. You guys are doing very
He's
well.
He's faster
right.
than better on the
Still
old
beat
stuff.
Me.
Anything Cats.
Sorry. Hamilton, Blackish.
Oh, David?
David Diggs?
Diggs.
Yeah, David Diggs is correct. All right, here we go. Evita, Life Goes On.
Patty.
Patty LuPone. Yep, there you have it. All right. 30 Modern Millie, Younger.
Son Foster.
Well done, ladies and gentlemen. That's a Playbill pop quiz.
You guys that won.
Was, Lena came in at 4,000 points, Jeremy at 3,500 points,
oh,
and
easy.
Jennifer right. with 17.5 points.
Thank you.
A strong showing, but we know it was a television blockage.
She did say Lea Michele.
Yeah, I just wasn't late. Quite as fast as he was.
All right, guys, let's start at the very beginning. I want to talk to you guys about your very first stage experiences. I want to talk about shows that you saw that inspired mm-hmm. you, the moment that you sat in a theater or watched television and said, that's... what I want to be. That's what I want to do. Jennifer, do you remember?
Well, my dad was the band director or the music teacher at the high school I ended up going to, but he also directed the pit orchestras for the musicals for the high school.
Okay.
So from when I was very little, this was like the most special thing we would do. My mom would like dress us up, my sister Aww. And me, and we'd have like little purses full of candy, and it was a very special thing to go see the musical. And so I saw Music Man and Sound of Music and A Fiddler on the Roof and The King and I, and you know, like, I mean, on and yeah. on, and on, you know, Hello Dolly and Guys and Dolls, like all those shows really young. And yeah. it was a very prominent memory because it was such a special occasion for us to get up and, you know, get all dressed up and go do that.
I love that. I love that it was an event,
yeah.
you know, when you were younger to go to the theater. And I feel like sometimes we just make it so casual.
Yeah.
And I love that. Jeremy, yours.
I had a lot of experiences in the theater as a kid, but I never wanted to do it.
No?
I mean, I saw a lot of shows. My grandma was the director of the youth program at the local community theater.
Okay.
My very first show that I ever did, I was a rat in the Pied Piper of Hamelin.
Love
then
that.
And then I played a horny toad. They called it Horny
really?
Toad.
Uh-huh.
As a child?
It was a horned toad. It was oh. a kid's production of Don Coyote called Don Coyote.
Oh,
Don
geez.
Coyote?
Don Coyote,
Let's
the kid's
be honest,
version.
That's adorable.
Yeah. So I was a horny toad. And
how's that going for you?
But no, I never really cared about it. I just kind of did
really?
It like as a thing that to appease my people. And then I became a singer and I liked singing and stuff. And it wasn't until I was a junior in high school and I was cast as the mute in the Fantastics, which
really?
Was very confusing to me because I...
You're like, I've got this
My
voice.
Previous day's experience was singing and making faces. Like, that's what I did. I didn't know how to act. And, like, I was playing a character that didn't say anything, so I kind of had to learn how to listen, and that was when I kind of caught the bug.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
I like that. Lena Hall.
Oh, well, I grew up in the backstage, my parents.
Yeah.
my dad had his own ballet company and my mom was his prima ballerina. Mm. So it kind of was born to be a ballerina. Yeah. And
what age did you start dancing, actually?
Probably two.
Wow.
There's a picture of me in diapers with my leg on a bar. Like a little bar.
It was taken just last week.
Yes, yeah. It was taken just like, yes. So I was always supposed to do something performance based. But when I was nine, my mom took me to see Cats as it toured through San Francisco. Uh-huh. And after I saw it, I swore Cats were from outer space. And after I saw it, I looked at my mom and I was like, I'm going to do that. So
yeah,
cut to.
And then you had a full circle moment because you went on to do Cats.
Can we please,
I wish we would.
Like, remake Cats in outer space?
It is, but it is. Like, they come in with the green eyes at the beginning, yeah. And then there's a thing that takes off, and
yeah.
And they just go into the mothership.
Like there's this one cat, and she's real sad. So they put her on a tire and blow her through the roof.
She's all alone.
She's all alone. That's the famous Cats review. Now talk to me about what are the roles as you caught the bugs and you started getting into theater. What were the roles that you didn't get?
Ooh.
Ugh, so many.
Right?
Oh, this is silly, but it was like in my grade school, we did Mary Poppins, a production of Mary Poppins, which because I was so sure that I wanted to be an actor and no one else at, 7 years old was sure what they wanted to do with their life, I was just very confident that I was going to get cast as Mary Poppins. And there weren't like proper auditions or anything. It was just sort of like the music teacher kind of saying, you should be this and you should be that. And they cast this other girl as Mary Poppins and me as one of the Banks kids, and I was devastated. I ended up really enjoying it, but I really felt like my career might be over because I didn't get to play Mary Poppins in the fourth grade production of Mary Poppins at Windsor Elementary School.
Ah, the Windsor Elementary School.
I went to Windsor Park Elementary School.
Did you really?
I did.
Look at that.
That's a little bonding moment.
Mm.
Hmm. Jeremy, what didn't you get?
The one that pops into mind is Joseph in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Okay.
I was very upset. And I got cast as Gad, who's one of the brothers.
Sure.
And I stole so much stage time from everybody. I just found myself in the front of every number. I bribed them into giving me all the good solos. Stole the show as much as I possibly could, and I was so mad I couldn't play Joseph.
Lena?
So I was never cast in what I wanted.
Really?
Yeah, because, I always wanted to be like I wanted to play Mary Magdalene and Jesus Christ. I was 13 years old, and I wanted to play,
the right age to play Mary
perfect
Magdalene.
Age.
And JC Superstar.
Yeah. I always wanted to play the more adult roles, and I was always cast in the child role.
Uh-huh.
And I was baby Louise in Gypsy and not Louise. Mm-hmm. I was baby, I was always the little baby one, which is fine. I was so young and little. And still, to this day, I still don't get cast in the things that I really I'm like, I want that, and I won't get cast in it. If I want it really badly, except for once, that worked for me. But if I want it really badly, usually it just never happens.
Well, going back to Hedwig, you campaigned for the role, as I recall. Didn't you, make a video and, walk through the streets as Itzhak?
Oh, yeah. Point? Well, for my audition,
yeah.
It was not like I put, a actual Kickstarter campaign out there.
No, I didn't.
But I did
that,
a fake one. Fake one, yeah. A two-minute Kickstarter campaign.
Tell
video.
Us about that quickly.
Well, I know the show, and I really wanted that role. That was the one role I really wanted, and I went after, and I got. And so I knew that it was a male character, and that I had to look like a dude, and I knew he was a audio tech or a stage tech. Mm-hmm. And so I came in, and I had a guitar player come in with me, and I brought an amp, and I set the amp up, and dressed completely in drag with a mustache and everything. And then for my final callback, they asked me to do a 2-minute monologue. Or tell a joke in character. And so I wrote my own monologue about my own backstory growing up in Croatia in a small town that that was the sole provider of the yak hair for the musical Cats. I just tried to take stuff that I knew and like bring it into
Cats,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
And like there was this whole thing, a whole journey where I'm trying to like get to play. Like I love musicals because of Cats, because uh-huh. it was what the town was kind of built on, and we would do our own like government run like production of like Vladimir Lenin's Cats because we were a communist. And
Lenin's Cats.
Yeah, and then my mom she died in a big like yak hair fire. And
was this on the spot, or you came up with this before?
I wrote it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it was not like impromptu.
So memorized. No.
I mean, wow.
And then
that's in depth.
You really dug deep.
Really doing the work.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The craft.
And then the whole thing is like I found the tape of Rent, and I was like, this is my mom telling me to go and follow my dreams. And then I come to the city. Actually, this is really funny. I come to the city and Rent is closed, and in its place is Newsies. And so like I'm campaigning to kick Newsies out and like bring back the revival of Rent so I can star in it. And so I started a Kickstarter campaign to do that, and like so that I could star as Angel in Rent on Broadway. And I did a 2-minute video that went with the monologue afterwards.
That's a lot to
That's
pack
amazing.
Into 2 minutes. Do you go whole hoggy in the audition room like that, Jeremy?
Do I go whole hog?
Whole hog. Yeah,
I like that reference there. Yeah. Big River. I played that character.
Huh.
And they didn't cut Ham for the Hog, which was great.
Yeah.
Because they always cut it. Anywho. Yeah. I tend to kind of leave it all on the floor, so to speak.
Okay.
Like when my first Broadway show was Rock of Ages, mm-hmm. which I was fully inappropriate for. But I had done a EPA or whatever and sang some rock song from the 80s, and they called me back for The Swing, which is what I ended up getting. Mm-hmm. And in the audition, I had to sing like the big rock star songs. And then like there's also like this little gay German character as well, which was hilarious. And I had the classical training, so I'd never done like the rock and roll thing before. And I didn't really practice it very well. I just decided I was going to wing it. Mm-hmm. And I went in there and was going like full thrashing. And I was like air guitaring for Jesus and like sticking my tongue out. And I was knee sliding.
I was
like using whatever was in the room. There was a coat hanger in the room, like a coat rack. I like grabbed it and I was like headbanging off it, and I broke it. And then I like threw it across the room because I broke it. All the while singing like, I want to rock or something like that. And they loved it. And I just kept going, and I completely lost my voice. The next 3 days I couldn't speak. But I got the gig.
Sweet.
I love that. That's so full throttle.
That's great.
Jennifer?
I'm always confused with like Broadway versus TV and film auditions because I feel like in LA, there's not a lot of imagination with what you look like when you come in the room. So there really is this expectation of like you have to show up like dressed as the character, and it's like a whole thing, you know. And
it's the worst.
That's what I'm doing wrong.
It's real. It's real serious, you know. And that's why like every girl in the waiting room looks exactly the same, because they've like all followed the stage directions. And if it says you're in like a pink shirt and jeans, every girl's in a pink shirt and jeans. And so it's you really kind of like try to be as close to exactly what they're looking for as possible.
Yeah.
And then years ago, when my first audition on Broadway was for The Graduate, and I actually was cast as the understudy, and I booked a film at the same time. So it was like an interesting like crossroad in my career where I was like packing my bags to come out here to be the understudy in The Graduate, and then booked this film and had to decide between the two and ended up choosing the film. But when I first went in for The Graduate, I did what you do in LA. I like wore the outfit, you know, like I looked like Elaine in the movie, basically. Mm-hmm. And the casting director was like, honey, just like, you can just wear like normal clothes when you come back.
Like, I was like, I came here to book
but
this
I was
job.
Like, but I feel like I need to look like, he's like, no. So then I was very confused because I was like, what do I wear? Like, what do I do now? I need to not look like the character, but be the character. So I still feel like I have a little conundrum every time I'm trying to figure out what to wear into a room when I'm reading for something.
I have various like articles in my closet that I only keep because I think maybe one day I'll have to dress up like a hobo from like the deep south in the 1800s or something.
Like, this could be great if I have to read for
that's
some random
role.
The
only thing I have, only reason I'm keeping this.
Yeah.
Is there something to that, the difference between auditioning for film and for stage? Is there something that you like more about one rather than the other?
Auditioning is just kind of awful in general.
I feel like necessary evil, of course.
What I do like about auditioning for anything off Broadway or Broadway is they usually do have a reader who's a real actor. So at least you're having an actual interaction with an actor. In LA, you're literally like crying and pouring your heart out. And a casting director is like, yes, I see that you are upset.
You're staring at the top of their bald head.
Like, oh my God, give me something, you know?
Yeah.
So at least you're having a real interaction here and you feel like you actually acted in some way. But yeah, in LA, you just have to kind of, or for TV and film, you just have to kind of like grin and bear whatever happens to be the circumstance.
Yeah.
I do enjoy a self-tape. I do enjoy a self-tape. Oh. Yeah, because I can have like my friend come over who's a good actor and actually like act the scene with me. And I have a whole setup now. It's so easy. Like I just like...
You bring down a green screen.
Yeah, no green screen.
I need all the self-tape advice because I've been doing it for years and it has never worked.
Oh, it never works.
But like I... So see, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I had been doing pilot season via self-tape and like New York auditions for years. And then the second I went to Los Angeles... Yeah. To go to do pilot season, I book the first thing I go in the walk in the room. I'm like, and it's just like, there's an energy that you take into the room with you. Mm-hmm. And when you meet the people and they like, you know, you do the scene, you act all that stuff, but it's like what you carry with you that they see the person they're going to be working with. They see who you could be outside of the character, you know, what energy you're going to bring to set. And I think that's like way more important than anybody puts emphasis on.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree. Well, I just like the self-tape because you have a lot more control.
Totally.
Over
like, it feels great. But I don't know, it doesn't work.
But there's an exchange of energy, of course, when you're in a room with somebody and they can feel kind of more of what you're capable of, possibly. Let's talk Playbill for a moment. Do you guys remember the first moment that you saw your name in a Playbill? And what was that experience like for you, Lena?
I got really excited because I was in the big thing that you get
the souvenir program.
Yes, thank you. I was in the big souvenir program, but it was like an insert with the current cast. So like for Cats, they would never change the pictures. They would just put an insert with the current cast.
Oh, really?
Right. Yeah. Good. So for me, that was exciting.
Jeremy?
The first thing I remember that really excited me was when I did West Side Story. I replaced, and I was the two-show Tony. I did Wednesdays and Sundays.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
But you know, they have all the pictures on the outside of the theater. And then, like, when you walk into the palace, like, just to the right in, like, a corner, there was, like, a little picture frame. And they had me in that one. Like, all the other pictures were the other guy, but I was in that little one in the corner when you walk in. And I was
the Wednesday, Sunday guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, like, I made it.
Yeah. Jennifer?
I've done far less than these guys have. So my first one was for Miracle Worker.
Yeah.
And I was just sort of slightly horrified because I looked naked. Oh. Like the headshot they had sent, I was in a strapless shirt and I didn't realize that. And then the way they cropped it, you saw no clothes. So I just looked like a naked me.
Jennifer's like, thrilled to be on Broadway. So thrilled that she's not wearing any clothes.
Working miracles every night.
And she
be
likes
sure to
be
take
naked.
Your Playbill home with you.
Does that affect now when you submit a photograph to be put, knowing that it's going to a Playbill? Do you alter that?
I did. Yes,
did
I was
you?
Very careful about making sure they sent me what they were sending for the end of Longing because I was like, I need to make sure that when this is cropped, you can tell I have clothes on. So I picked a totally different picture. But yeah, it was one of those things that like. I didn't even pay attention to whatever person picked it, like sent in, you know, I was just like, oh yeah, whatever's fine. I'm not worried about it. And then I saw it. I was like, I look naked.
Do you guys keep your playbills? Do you have a collection?
I have all of my playbills.
You do?
Everything I've ever seen.
Are you in a show? I know you are. Do you want to add some Broadway flair to your school or community theater production? Well, Playbuilder lets you build your very own Broadway quality playbill program. Each playbill is fully customizable for your production. Dates, song title, cast names, production credits, artwork, and even advertising. It's a great way to promote your show, raise money for your organization, and create a professional, printable program. Save valuable time with Playbuilder Express. Select from thousands of pre-populated programs in our database and simply begin to customize your production's playbill. Visit playbuilder.com to learn how you can create your own playbill today.
So talking about stage and screen and the differences there, if you started on stage, do you remember the first time you set foot on a set And what was that experience? And how different was that from being in a rehearsal room, which is so kind of broad and grand, and being on set, it's so intimate?
Well, I had done some commercials, but my first film, I was 13.
Oh, wow.
It was called Intersection, and Richard Gere was playing my father, and Sharon Stone was playing my mother, and Mark Rydell was directing. It was a very, like, intense, like, pedigree of people to just, like, leap into. It was really crazy.
For sure.
Luckily, I think I was, like, young enough to sort of not completely understand what I'd walked into, but I had been doing all this, like, community theater and school theater, and so I was used to, like, acting, you know? And so I was acting, and Mark Rydell came up, and he's like, if you think it, we can see it. And I was like, oh, okay. And so he was really, like, luckily he was so kind about it, but it was, like, my first teacher in how to reel in the bigness of stage and sort of, like, figure out that it was completely different to be on camera.
And do you find, do you have to get back into a zone when you go to the stage now? Do you have to go, all right, now this is stage acting?
It is different. It feels like a default setting for me because I started on stage so young and was on stage basically from, like, 5 years old until 23 or whatever, you know, and then went off and did film and TV. So it feels kind of like a default setting for me, but it is very different. I mean, if I were doing what I'm doing in the play now on screen, it would be horrifying.
Yeah. Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely theater. I'd only ever done theater until maybe 2010 was when I did my first thing on set. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. My first thing was in 2007, right out of college, I did an episode of SVU.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I had a scene with Chris, and he was super cool. And basically, the scene was him telling me that my girlfriend was dead. And I was like a 17-year-old high school kid or whatever. And I had to, like, react. And, like, it was written very much, like, kind of denial-y. And the director had her own issues, but I remember taking the moment and, like, thinking, okay, well, how do I react to being told that somebody that I'm super close to has died? I don't know how to, like, get in on this sort of thing. And so I'm like, he tells me, and I'm like looking around and, like, I don't know what to do. Like, in my character, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know how to deal with this. How do I handle all this? And I'm thinking I'm doing, like, this great job. I'm, like, really, like, taking in the space.
Really having
I'm
experience.
I'm really, like, having a real experience. Chris looks at me after, like, the third take. He's like, dude, just look at me. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, just look at me when I'm telling you and then react at me. I was like, well, that's weird. You're going to tell me my girlfriend's died and I just stare at you? That's weird. But, like, it was this crazy lesson that I took with me forever, and they didn't end up using that take. They used a take where I was, like, looking over, and I looked terrible. I was a terrible performance.
All of your emoting? That's amazing.
Oh, my God, it was horrible. But I took with me the idea of, you know, like, putting all that and keeping it in your eyes and just giving it straight forward. Because, you know, the audience is in the camera. They're not all around the room. They're just in this one point of view, and they have to connect with you. And if they can't see your eyes, then they can't connect with you.
Yeah.
And that was, like, a great lesson for me to learn. And, you know, I'm still kind of trying to learn it. But it's similar to you. Like, I default back to the stage. So sometimes I have to remind myself to tone it down.
Lena? Is it a jarring thing to go in front of the camera for the first time?
Well, I mean, I recently just released the first film that I've ever starred in, and for me that was crazy because every day it was my, you know, like, I'm there for every single scene, I'm in every take, it's just my face all the time, and then I was like, oh my God, this is on my shoulders, and I've never done anything like this. Yeah. I was like, am I gonna be good? I don't know. I didn't have, like, a coach or anything on the set, and I was just trusting the directors, like, a lot. Mm-hmm. And basically for me, it was more about the difference between kind of stage acting and then acting for this film specifically was that for stage, I get to live the character arc over and over again in one go. Like, I could just get to live this arc and see it through every time, unless I get hurt in the middle of a show and somebody else has to go on for me. But
sure.
That's something else. But in film, it goes so far out of order. You are filming a reaction you're having to something you filmed earlier, and you have to remember where you were in that emotional state, and like, and so that it matches up where you're going to the cut. Like, so the cut matches up to what you had filmed maybe like a week before, you can't even remember, or possibly you're reacting to something that hasn't even shot yet, and you're trying to figure out, well, okay, so how am I going to remember how I got to this place emotionally when I get there? So for me, it was more like a puzzle of figuring out what goes where. The camera was so, at least for what I was filming, the way they filmed it, the camera was so close to me all the time. Yeah. It was really easy to keep it pulled way back because I was like, there's like a face right here. And usually there's a face way out there that I'm like performing to. And there's like one that's like right here. And it's literally this shot of my face that's like that big, that's like my nose. And just that awareness of the camera being so close helped me tone it way down. And not didn't seem to feel like there was an issue with that. I can really feel when someone is like, at least right when the person that watching the eyes, when they're super close or when they're really far. That's that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, but certainly for me, the biggest challenge is like the puzzle of it.
Yeah.
Of like the emotional journey that you go on for a film. Because it is so disjointed. It's amazingly disjointed.
And are there tricks that you draw from your training or to get you into that place and having to insert emotion at the drop of a hat that maybe hasn't been built up like you would on in the journey of a character on stage?
Well, for me, it's like if you take the idea of having like a month of rehearsal for theater, you're doing it over and over and over and over and over again. You know the show so intimately, especially for a film. It's not the same for television because you get a script like two days before, you read it like a couple times and then you just like go and do it and then you're on to the next scene. It's, but for film, knowing it as intimately as possible is kind of like the biggest key.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you can do that for television as well, if it's like a, you know, not a puff piece.
For a film, there's the luxury of obviously knowing the beginning, middle, and end and being able to plot the puzzle, as she was saying, you know, and you kind of have to do the rehearsal process on your own. It's just a much lonelier process. So instead of having a month in a space with all these other people and working it out in a collaborative situation, and not everybody does this, and that's why sometimes people really struggle on set, but a lot of actors who really, like, really care about it do this, which is that you just dive into a tremendous amount of work. And I spend hundreds of hours with a script before I ever steps foot on a set. And no one would ever know, like, the homework that I did. And you don't even discuss it. It's just sort of like an expectation that you're going to deliver in the moment. So, but it takes a tremendous amount of time leading up to that on your own with the script, you know, with the emotional sort of plotting out where the emotions are going to land to know that. And then with television, what I've tried to do, because especially with Once Upon a Time, we would jump through time all the time. So the stretch that this specifically happened with the most was when I was playing the dark version of my character, when I was playing Dark Swan. I know this sounds so serious. But we were flipping through time between when she was on the verge of turning dark and then going forward to where she was super dark. And I never knew from one episode to the next, like, where that was all going to slide in with each other. So I kind of created this outline for myself of, like, these, like, pillars that I would grab onto of pivotal moments, and then I'd have to fill in where she was at emotionally in between those. And I never knew, like, if I was gonna have to slot in five or six places between those two pillars or two, but it was like I kind of had to build almost like an outline of a foundation to hang on to. So I'd be like, okay, so we're at this point in her journey, and then tomorrow we're gonna jump like 2 weeks ahead of that, and then the next day we're gonna jump like a month before that. And and in some days we'd go from like her barely turning dark and still being like bright and cheery and like barely having darkness in her to like 3 hours later, I was like ripping someone's heart out and screaming at them, you know? So it was like trying to find some kind of like outline for myself to kind of navigate that instead of it just being kind of haphazard.
And that's so, it's interesting to me that it's such an isolated experience doing all that work for yourself when you approach a script and have to jump in so quickly. Are there things that you guys appreciate more or miss when you're on set that you miss about being on stage?
Yes.
What are they?
For me, so much. Well, like for me, at least now, I mean, we're on season 3 of Supergirl, and I'm like the comic relief, sort of. So I have all like the one-liners and the, you know, zingers and the, you know, cute stuff.
Mm-hmm.
which is great, and it's helped me like hone that sort of side of myself, which I've never really got to do. I've always played very serious characters. I don't know why. And no, but I miss the connection with the audience. I miss the imperfection of theater. I miss the sort of like in the moment, and like you could totally screw up, but like you can do it again the next day and be amazing, and only a few people saw it and nobody videotaped it, hopefully. Yeah. And I just...
And also whoever saw it, they don't know the difference because they only saw what they saw.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure. And I miss like what you were saying. I miss the journey. Like I miss the journey every night. Like the full like 2 hour long arc of this character. And to be honest, I mean, I'm a total control freak. I miss being in control. Hmm. And there's a massive lack of control, especially in television, where like you just show up, you do what you do, you've done your work, and then you have to let it go. And then, you know, months later, after hundreds of people have touched it with their fingers and kind of like snipped it and pasted it all together, you hope they pick the right take that makes you look good, not the one where you're like, oh my god, my girlfriend's dead. You know, it's like you
it always comes back to the SVU.
Shelby
was that her name? Shelby,
it was her name, yes. Her name was Shelby. Anyways, Shelby. But like you're in control of the final product. Yeah. Like you get to deliver.
It's really
it
on you.
Like I am the vehicle, I'm like the vessel, and I, you know, there's a danger to it, and it's really exhilarating.
Yeah.
Lena?
It's so true. Like, filming the movie, I really, really trusted the directors completely. I was like, I just want to make sure, do you guys have what you need? Like, do you need me to do anything different? Like, and they'd be like, yeah, it's great. I'm like, it is? Are you sure? Like, I feel like so like, wait, you got that? They're like, oh yeah, it's perfect. I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know. Because I don't even, I'm not seeing what they're seeing. They see the whole picture, like, and the editors, like, they take what they've got and they're able to edit.
Like,
it's amazing.
Try different versions of it, like you can do in theater from night to night.
Right, yeah. I mean, I really love I love an audience, of course, like an audience, especially for shows, for Broadway shows, it's like, well, for any live theater, any live performance at all, your last character is the audience and how they respond to the show. Mm. And it adds so much energy. I mean, there's so much you can get from them that pushes you through the show and gets you to where you need to get to. Whereas film, it's a very different experience.
Do you guys find that when you're on stage that your performance is affected and changes based on the energy and response from an audience?
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's inevitable. I mean, you know, there's certainly a consistency because, you know, like you were saying, it's ingrained in you from the rehearsal process. You've done it so many times. You know it so intimately. Mm-hmm. You've kind of had, like, it's been noted to death by the director by the time you open, you know. But even with that sort of baseline where you know, like, a certain thing is going to happen a certain way to a certain extent, like, you can't control the fact that energy is in the room. Like, it just is in the room, you know. And sometimes that's a good thing, and sometimes that feels like an obstacle. But for the most part, it feels like it drives the performance. You know, it's like some nights, the show that I'm doing now it's for the most part a comedy. I mean, it's considered a dark comedy because there's some serious moments. But, like, there's some nights that the audience just listens really intently and will think, like, oh, they hate us. They hate us. They're not laughing. They're not, you know. And then at the end, they'll, like, fly out of their seats, whereas usually audiences don't. You know, so it's like, well, like, oh, my God, they were just, like, paying really close attention in a way that we didn't realize, you know. So it's just interesting. They just engage and, like, latch on in a different way. And that definitely kind of drives your performance, at least subtly in one way or another.
Yeah, it can push you to, like, to be better as well, you know, to like, okay, you know what, I got to step up because I really need to give something greater than what I'm giving, you know, especially if you feel like you aren't, like, you know, you're not 100% that day or something, and they can really kind of take you to that, you know, complete level of performance.
That I will win them over moment.
Yeah. Also, they, like, want to enjoy it. You can feel that. No one goes to the theater wanting to not enjoy it. You know, they've paid good money.
Well, there are some people.
Well, maybe, I guess. But they pay good money and they, you know, whatever.
Midwestern dads who are going to see Cats with their kids. Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I find that I usually feel like I'm struggling the most in the anticipation of a show starting. Like, I feel like, oh, and then as soon as I step on the stage, the energy of the audience, like, lights me up and I'm like, fine. Yeah. It's just that, like, 30 minutes leading up to that, I'll be like, oh, I'm so tired.
What's also great about that, which is hard to emulate on a film or television set, is that giddiness, that anticipation, that sort of love, things that like that drives you. And you could be sitting in your cast chair for 2 hours between takes on set and then have to like somehow give yourself energy to jump back into a scene when you don't have an audience. You just have like a few crew guys who want to go home just as much as you do. And somehow reach that same level of performance, but it's doubly difficult.
Do you guys get, for lack of a better word, do you get stage fright? Do you get anxious and nervous before a live performance?
Depends on what it is.
Yeah.
It really depends on what it is. If it's the first time, the very first audience, always. And then after that, I'm just like, oh, whatever. But like, say it's for some one-off thing that's going to be filmed and like for and seen by millions of people. I don't know. I sang the national anthem for like a football game, and they were like, it's airing, and I was like, oh my god, I've never been so nervous in my life. Because something like that too. It's like you can't mess up the words, you can't sing like crap. Like it's the national anthem. People really judge you. Really judge you. You know, it's things
like
that.
Crap.
Yeah. No,
rule
you
number
can't
one.
Sing like, or if you were going to perform on
happened.
Like performing live on the Tonys, that is nerve wracking. It's just things like that where it's a live performance, but there's this added thing where you know everyone's going to see it, and it's captured forever, so you can't just like let it go. But that's another thing that like frustrates me sometimes. I don't know. I'm on the fence about it. Like what I love about film is that it's a moment in time that is captured forever, and you can look on it anytime you want. Mm-hmm. With theater, it's never. Like, unless you're lucky enough to have, like, when they did the Newsies movie.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're lucky enough for that. I mean, that's amazing. I really like that. But, like, everything I've ever done, there's just nothing except bootlegs that are so bad. And you're just like, why? You know, like, it does not represent the show well.
Yeah, because, you know, I feel the same way, though. Like, if I've rehearsed for a month or for however long and I've got this thing down and it's ingrained in me, I'm not nervous. I'm more excited. I'm more like anxious to go out there and try it out and figure out what it is and then go back and fix it and work on that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Riddle me this, my friends. Mm-hmm. If you could bring any stage character to the screen, what would it be? What's your dream on-screen musical character moment?
My senior year in high school, I played Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. I mean, it really was maybe the most fun I've ever had on stage. It was just like, I know it was just my high school performance and whatever, but it was like, I don't know. It was we had a really strong group of kids who were in the theater program at my school. So it was like a nice cast. And my dad, like I said, directed the Pitt Orchestra, and he is he had incredible musicians. So it was like a weirdly like sort of like the best version of a high school musical you could possibly imagine. And I don't know. It was like my senior year, I was leaving. It was fun group of people, it's a fun character.
I'm sure we could make that happen. Someone's got to produce that for you. Jeremy?
It's hard because most shows come from movies these days. So it's like they do it go backwards.
They do go backwards.
Mm-hmm. They do. They do go back again.
They just go around and around, really.
Yes.
I would love to redo West Side Story. I know it's like a classic, but
I hear a million teenage girls shrieking right now, thinking about you doing that.
As Maria.
Absolutely.
Yes,
Jeremy
see?
Jordan is Maria in West Side Story. Redux.
I would be the only one wearing a white dress.
I think.
What mirror wear?
Yeah. I think that I would want to do, I don't know. I feel like Yitzhak needs his own show. Yitzhak would need a TV show because he's a weird, funny character and the backstory and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he's just
I want to see
you
be subtle with that character.
Oh, he can be. Oh, he's. It was all about subtlety. I mean, I barely moved my face, like literally. But like, that would be fun. But I would love to play like Ann Wilson in like a heart, like a movie about heart, or if I would stop aging and it would happen soon, I would like to play her or some like like a really amazing female. I mean, Janis Joplin, but they're doing that. I didn't get it. Obviously, I really wanted it and I went in for it and I sang the crap out of it. But no. Or maybe they redo Jesus Christ Superstar, which is one of my favorite. And no, honey, I don't want to play Mary Magdalene. I want to play Judas.
Oh,
he's got the cool song.
I have to believe that us putting all of this out there in the universe is gonna bear some fruit.
They're doing it. They're doing the live thing.
The live thing, but that's the live thing.
You know what? But like, I would watch if you were Judas.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know if I'm gonna watch it otherwise.
Uh-huh. unless Lena does it.
I'm gonna team up with you on that.
Thank you.
We can push for this collectively over here.
I would love to play Judas. That'd be rad.
Take more risks with those things.
I'm so excited about all of those prospects.
All right, friends, I know you love Broadway, and I can only imagine that if you're anything like me, you love a good vacation. So why not combine the two and take a Broadway-themed vacation with Playbill? Playbill Travel has been hosting the biggest fans of Broadway all over the world on incredible week-long cruises that get you up close and personal with the biggest stars of Broadway. I'm not joking. One night you can hear an amazing and intimate performance by, I don't know, let's say Tony Award winner and gorgeous human being Christine Ebersole. And the next morning you'll be going on an incredible excursion through Iceland with her. If you don't believe me, check out PlayBillTravel.com to take a look at Playbill's latest cruise up the Rhone River in France, where guests and Broadway stars had the time of their lives. Playbill Travel has three amazing cruises lined up between now and July of next year, so head to PlayBillTravel.com to book your soon-to-be most favorite vacation ever.
All right, guys, one of the things we love the most being here at Playbill Presents the Broadway Cast is we get to have a conversation with people out there who are doing theater, actively involved in either school productions, community theater productions. A wonderful young lady reached out to us via Twitter at the Broadway Cast, and she's in Texas, and we're going to dial her in right now. Rachel, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Rachel. You're on the Broadway Cast with Jennifer Morrison, Jeremy Jordan, and Lena Hall.
Hi.
Hey.
What's up?
Hi.
Rachel, where in Texas are you?
I'm from Tyler, Texas. I'm in East Texas.
Tyler,
yes. Texas.
My grandma lived in Tyler for a long time.
Oh, that's so cool.
I know.
What's your grandma's name? Maybe they know each other.
Her name was Helen Hicks. She was a bus driver, school bus driver.
She was?
Oh.
Yes, now she's retired.
Rachel, I understand that you're working on a show. Tell us what show you're doing and where.
Right now I'm in Legally Blonde, the musical, and it's at Tyler Civic Theater Center.
That's fantastic. And when does it run?
Opening night is July 20th, and it runs for 3 weekends.
And how are rehearsals coming along?
They're going really great. Tonight I learned the choreography for Whipped Into Shape, so ooh, I'm a little nervous.
That's intense. Who are you playing, Rachel?
I'm a sorority sister. I'm Leilani.
Yes.
Now, Lena, you've got some history with the Legally Blonde.
Oh, God.
Speaking of being on film. Tell us about your connection to that, Lena.
I did the reality show.
You did?
I did, yeah. The MTV reality show. Yeah.
What is that? What
the
do you
search
mean
for
reality
L.
show?
Woods.
Yeah, it was called Legally Blonde, The Search for the Next Elle Woods.
Oh.
And I was the token rocker weirdo. I was so not ripe for Elle Woods, but I was like, I had red hair. I had my real name, Selena. And so that's a good way to kind of...
That's good. That's a good way to like.
And that asked me. Although conceal. I thought I did a good job.
Rachel, do you have a question for anybody on our panel here? If you could ask Jeremy Jordan anything, what would you ask him?
Easy. That's the pressure.
That's so much pressure.
She's so composed. She's like, I'm Rachel, and I'm
even I am fangirling out sitting here with you guys. So, Rachel, you've got it going on. You're cool as a cucumber, baby.
Thank you. I guess what's the biggest difference in living in Texas and moving to New York?
Ooh, good question, Rach.
Thank you.
Are you wanting to move to New York, Rachel?
Of course she does. Yes. She doesn't want to live in Texas.
Yes, I was there earlier this month and I didn't want to leave.
Oh, amazing. It's a world of difference. You know, I mean, nowadays, you know, we're so connected. You know, everybody's, you know, has access to everybody else. You know, when I first came out here, it was a little bit difficult being away, but I knew that this is where I needed to be in order to do all, you know, all the things you wanted to do. But it's another universe here, man. It's different. New York versus Texas is like New York versus literally everywhere else in the world.
Yeah. Mars.
So, I mean, yeah, exactly. Where cats are from. And then.
Yes, exactly.
So, like, it's.
Back
it's
to cats in space.
Always. But no, it's amazing. And, you know, Tyler's a small town and New York couldn't be more opposite. And I think you've lived there probably for a long time, and it's time for a cool change. And you'll find out pretty soon whether it's something that you love or something that you might want to double back on. But there's no place like it, so I'm excited for you to come.
New York will certainly let you know where you stand with it, won't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. Rachel, we wish you the best of luck with your production of Legally Blonde. Everyone out there, go out and see a community theater show. Go out and support a school show. Get out there and enjoy the amazing theater that's being created all across the country.
I love
that you're doing that, Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
We love you so much, Rachel.
Bye,
I'm
Rachel.
I'm fangirling over Rachel right now.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
You guys, this has been absolutely fascinating. I've had such a wonderful time. I had a darn good time. So I want to say thank you so much to Jennifer Morrison, Jeremy Jordan, and Lena Hall. Thank you guys for joining us here on the Broadway cast. Best of luck with all of your stage and film work. This is your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron, saying, have a great show. Peace out. Make sure you tune in next week when we welcome the Broadway bros, Derek Klena from Anastasia, Simba in The Lion King, that's Jelani Remy, and star of Bandstand, Corey Cott, right here on the Broadway cast.
Can't get enough of the Broadway cast? Well, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio. And while you're at it, follow us on all social media platforms at The Broadway Cast. And if listening just isn't enough for you, make sure you head over to Playbill.com where you can catch exclusive behind-the-scenes video footage only on Playbill.com.